Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to A Sound Heart Radio. Our show for this morning is entitled, Will God Soon Remove His Called Out Ones? And I am purposely dealing with this particular topic within eschatology, which means the doctrine of last things, because of the events that are currently going on throughout the world. And it really does seem to me that we're at the end of this particular age. Many of the things that Jesus said would exist at the end of this particular age are coming to pass. One has to be a student of eschatology in order to really get a real understanding or a profound understanding of what Jesus meant. And so please note that Paul stated that in the last days, evil men would become worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But then there's a proviso. Paul states that with regard to some of the personages that he discussed, God had a period of time in which he would allow certain evil persons to arise, reach their apex, and then come to an end. That is, God has divinely established parameters for the rise and the fall of certain events and activities and conditions in the world. God is in control. We read in the book of Revelation these words, and it was allowed, and it was allowed. We call it, in theology, the divine passive. And that those words refer to events that God has allowed to come to pass. Now, please understand that the book of Revelation is a book of hope for believing ones. It is a book of hope for believing ones. The book of Daniel is a book of hope, of apocalyptic hope for believing ones. The books of Daniel and the books of Revelation are complementary, and they must be read and studied together. Parts of the book of Ezekiel are distinctly eschatological and point to the millennial kingdom or God's new day. And Ezekiel speaks of a unique day in which there is no day or night, and it is the day of God. It is a very powerful and very beautiful picture of the end of evil, the end of unrest, end of nefarious plans on the part of man. We have the reign of God. The book of Jude speaks of eschatological events and eschatological persons. is also another very powerful book. And so for this morning show, I'm going to begin in the book of Genesis to give you some idea of what I mean when I say, well, God, so the moon is called outwards. There, in the book of Genesis, we have a picture of one individual whose name was Enoch. And he lived in the antediluvian world, and we read that he walked with God. In the midst of all the extent of evil that was practiced in the antediluvian world, this man walked. But before we get there, I want to read Genesis chapter 4, beginning at verse 25, which reads, "And the Adam lay with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him. Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh." Now, Abel, the name Abel means breath or vapor. And so this man's life was wiped out by his own brother. And so the first sin, well, not the first sin, but the second great sin in the antediluvian world was prophesied, or the killing of one's brother. Cain, we read in 1 John, he cut his brother's throat as a ritual sacrifice. And so this is a very heinous deed. And and in Genesis 4, we read about the anger of Cain. And we read about his lineage. And those who came from him, they were characterized by incredible hostility. And then Adam's third son, Adam's third son, name was Seth. And so we read that at that time, men begin to call on the name of the Lord. And so there is a distinct godly line under Seth, and there's a distinct line under this man, Cain. And they were apart for a while, but then the godly line and the ungodly line merged. And disastrous things came about. So in Genesis 4:26, we read, Seth also had a son and named him Enosh. A very curious name. And the name Enosh means incurable. And so the name Enosh means the incurable ones. We read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. We read that the men were incurable. They were called Enosh, or the incurable one. These names are very distinct, and it is very important to understand these names when the Bible speaks about them. And so then we go to Genesis chapter 5, and we have the first cemetery. And we read these words, then he died. And this phrase occurs 8 times in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis 5:1 reads, this is a written account of Adam's lot. Now, in Genesis 5, the average age is 912. And we read, and we see that Thanatos is genetic. The Old Testament is the generation of the Adam and ends in a curse, Malachi 4:6. The New Testament is the generation of Jesus and ends in the taking away of the curse, Revelation 22:3. So the Adam's sin causes thorns to grow, Genesis 3:18. But Jesus wore those thorns as a crown, Matthew 27:29. Let me state at this point that in the Old Testament, sin is not thought of as a condition, but as a definite act, whether of thought, word, or deed. Let me say that again. In the Old Testament, sin is not thought of as a condition, but as a definite act, whether of thought, word, or deed. It is also important to note that in the Hebrew Bible, the Hebrew Bible blends wrongdoing and suffering to a remarkable degree. Wrongdoing and suffering go hand in hand. So this awareness is very important. We want to study the condition of the antediluvian world. So in Genesis chapter 5, in verse 21, we read, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and so we have this uttered again. Enoch walked with God, Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. Then Methuselah had lived 187 years, he became the father of Lamech. After he became the father of Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Methuselah lived 969 years, and then he died. Lamech had lived 182 years. He had a son. He named him Noah. He said, he will comfort us in the labor and pain, painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed. After Noah was born, Lamech lived 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Lamech lived 777 years, and then he died. After Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. In Genesis chapter 6, it goes into briefly the conditions upon the earth during the antediluvian world, or within the antediluvian world. So it is interesting to note that in the life of Enoch, we have the reign of grace. And we have his translation. God took him. And we read these important words. In English, it reads, he walked with God. The Hebrew emphasis is, he set himself to walk. He set himself to walk with God. In the Hebrew, this is reflexive, or in the reflexive stem. And it means to act, the reflexive stem means to act upon oneself. And so he set himself to walk with God. Now, we have this man's name in Hebrew, Kanach, or Enoch, or it's from Kanach. It means to instruct. It means to initiate and also dedicate. And so we have this very powerful life in the midst of very evil times. And this man determined in his heart to live a godly life. He determined to live a life that was Christ-centered in the midst of the ungodly. You see the very reverse of this in the Lot narrative. While Enoch could live among the ungodly and have a powerful godly life, we read in the Lot narrative that when he lived among the ungodly, he was weak, and he did not have a very powerful spiritual life. So, one man lived by the power of God, that is Enoch, and then we have this other man, Lot, who did not lead a godly life. There's some very interesting things to study and that we need to know about the lives of these two individuals. So, Enoch walked with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. So, Enoch becomes a type of the church that will be removed before God brings in the Mabel, we say flood. But Peter uses the term, or a term that means the dashing down of the old world. Cataclysmos is a term that Peter uses, because we read that the fountains of the deep were opened, and so God fractured, as it were, the landmass. God broke up the tectonic plates. Now, scientists know that there is more water under the crust of the earth than on top of the earth. We know that at the polar caps, methane is frozen, or methane gas is frozen in the ice. That's today. But in the antediluvian world, God fractured or broke up the tectonic plates. Then we read that the windows of the heavens were open. And so what is God doing? He's bringing up water from the within the earth to the surface of the earth to join the water that is the water that is coming down from the heavens. God will collapse, as it were, the old world with water. And God will resculpt the surface of the earth with fluid dynamics or hydrodynamics. He destroyed the old world. God did not have to ask permission. God sent Noah in verse 29 of Genesis 5. His name means rest. Jesus is our Noah. Jesus is our rest. We rest in him. One other term that I need to introduce you to is the term bra. Just two letters. And this is a term that is used for evil in the Old Testament. One of the terms. You read in Genesis 6, 5, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only ra all the time. And so ra in Hebrew means the breaking up or ruin. and it blends or binds together in one the wicked deed and its consequences. It binds together in one the wicked deed and its consequences. Now, I'm purposely taking my time with this topic because I really want you to know what this is about. This is not about little cartoons of a boat with cartoonized animals on a boat and Noah with a cartoonized smile on a boat. This is not Sunday school material. This is about a very serious topic that we need to understand. Why did God bring in the Nabal and the antediluvian world and the conditions in which God removed Enoch are extant today? The same type of evil, the same type of selfishness, the same type of self-centeredness, the same type of disregard for divine institutions, the destruction, as it were, of the attempted destruction of the sexes, male, female, complementary union and relationship, and the attempt to bring in other relationships, or to even speak about transgendered individuals, whatever that means. And so these things become very murky because the ungodly ones attempt to impose upon the natural order something that is substantively not normal. And to say, oh, yes, it is. This is very normal. And please understand that God has very distinct scriptures which deal with this topic. And the reason why I wanted to bring out the term Ra was to emphasize the fact that in the Old Testament, once again, Ra means to breaking up or ruin, and it binds together in one the wicked deed and its consequences. See, there are several words in Hebrew in which the suffix talks about or bespeaks what happens to the individual who oversteps the divine established boundary. And I know, as you know, that theology today in the West is not deep. Theology in the West is more adjusted to the culture. It does not challenge. It does not enlighten. In fact, it is devoid of the Spirit of God because theology in the West has rejected the Spirit of God. And you will hear quotations from great theologians and what theologians had to say about psychology and theology. And they will put these writings together in journals. I mean, some of the things that I've read in these journals, I can read to some extent, but then I go, who could labor so long in putting this stuff together? Because ultimately, I can see that the writer does not really believe what he has written. And so I've left a lot of the journals alone, and because there's just nothing there that was substantive. But yes, they were deeply and richly psychological and philosophical. But to what end? So Enoch is removed by God, and he is taken away. It is important to note also that in the book of Exodus, when God moved in and again, judging Egypt, because the Egyptian Pharaoh would not let people, God's people go. Every attack that God initiated and carried out was against a particular Egyptian deity. Did you know that? And there's a word in Hebrew that indicates that the attacks of Yahweh upon the Egyptian deities was mockery. Yahweh mocked. In other words, Yahweh mocked the Egyptian gods, even Pharaoh himself was considered a deity. And so Pharaoh stepped in the ring with God. And as you and I well know, our arms are too short to box with God. So we read these words in Exodus 10, beginning at verse 21. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky, so that darkness will spread over Egypt, darkness that can be felt. This is incredible. Darkness that can be felt. Darkness that could be experienced by the senses. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and total darkness covered all Egypt for 3 days. No one could see anyone else or leave his place for 3 days. Now, notice, yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. Yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. God does not judge the godly. The godly does not suffer as principle with the ungodly. God made a separation. God made a distinction. God discriminated between those who were his and those who were being judged. Enoch was carried away, and here God makes a separation between those who belong to him, who dwelt in light, and those who were being judged, who dwelt in darkness. In the next show, I will continue to show you what God is doing and what God did to give us types so that we would understand that God makes a distinction between those who are his, the godly ones. Please get your life right with God. Please get serious with God. Please get to know Christ as your Savior, because the things that are coming on this world are incredible. And Jesus speaks of man's heart failing them for fear of the things that are coming on this world. Please get your life right with God through Jesus Christ and believe the gospel. Please read John 3:16. Please read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Please read Romans chapter 10 in order to understand what salvation is. The Bible states, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a blessed day.